really the second part of the Mishnah that gives the example of Sara. Now the Rif brings a Tisefta, which is not to mention in the Gemara itself. The Tisefta says, I have it in if you have interest, I have it in a Vav and a Beis. Not earlier in there.
It skips to later on?
What skips to later on?
The Tosefta part?
No, they're probably in it. And the Yosef Hadar, they stretch it out, so... What is it, your Gimel?
I'm Gimel out.
Yeah, so it's already here, it's already above the base. They changed the choice of depth, so they have fewer lines, more stuff. So the Rif brings up the Sefta says, Emasai Amru Shem Mesom Niskashur Tzei Mutaris. When do I say the Erva dies, or the Erva is divorced? The Tzara is Mutter, that is only B'chayei Nabam. So the question of the Sefta is very sure. I understand the significance of Mesu. Mesu, there's a chiluk, if the Erva died B'chayei Nabam, or the Erva dies Shalom B'chayei Nabam. The Erva dies B'chayei Nabam, the tzara is mutter. If the erva dies after the baal dies, the tzara is usher because b'shas nefila, it was a tzara's erva. But the chiluk by niskarshu doesn't make sense. When do I say niskarshu muteres? Only if she's niskarshu b'chaye habav. But if she's niskarshu shalom b'chaye, in other words, it's not shayach to be niskarshu shalom b'chaye habav because that would be a chisaron. So the lashon of the Tosefta that qualifies, when do I say Mesu or Niskarshu? Only if it's B'chai Haval, L'chaira, that's a meaningful qualification only with respect to Mesu. It's not a meaningful qualification with respect to Niskarshu. L'achar Misa Saval, Surasayim Asurais. And Asuras doesn't just mean Asuras, it also means there's no Chalitza either, because this is the Yesod, that once she had a Shem Erev or a Tzoras Erev B'shas Nefila, it becomes Eish Yisach Shemesh Levanim, and the Zika is Mufka Lagamri. Shemesh says, Miyanu B'chayi Habal, if the Erev is a Katana with Kedushe Miyan, and she's Mima'enes B'chayi Habal, Tzoraseyim Mutaris, that's what our Mishnah said, Li'achar Misa Sabal Tzoraseyim Chelses V'lo Misyadmes. Right, that really was the maskana of the Gemara itself before, that a Mion after the death of the husband, the Tzora still needs Chalitza. Now, if you recall though, there are two different explanations for why that's so, and that is totally in the Machlekes Amoraim. Meaning, bottom line is, Hakol Maiden, a Mion of an Erva, after the death of the husband, the tzara needs chalitza. That's l'chulei alma. But the machlokas is why. According to one mazi amar, according to Rav Eishiya, that is because the only thing a post-mortem misa can do, a post-mortem miyan can do, can be mafkia zika. Can be mafkia maimer and cannot be mafkia zika. Right, that according to Rabbi Shia, if a woman is Mema'enes B'yavam, it's not like you're the Kedushin of Rishayim L'mafreya. It only says the Maimer doesn't need a get, but she still needs Chalitza. So like Rabbi Shia, it's a double Pashit. A Mian Achar Misa will need Chalitza. But you'll recall that the Gemara said, even like the Mandi Amar, that a Mian Achar Misa is like your Kedushin L'mafreya. So you might think if the Erva was never married to the Mace, the Tzora could even have Yiva. We say no, because it's a Marisayim. B'shas Nefila Neres Kitzaras Erva. So this din of the Tosefta is Muskul B'chula Yoma, that an Erva that's M'ma'enes Li'achan Misa, the Tzora still needs Chalitza, but there will be two different reasons why that's so. Either because a Mian Achan Misa is not like your Kedushin, or a Mian Achar Misa is Aikir Kedushin, but B'shas Nefila, it was Neres Kitzaras Erva. Right, so that's the Tosefta. And then it says, V'kulan, again, this is, it's not so clear why the Rif is bringing this, because I don't see clear what this is Maisif on the Mishnah so much. V'kulan, Shenimtsu Islandis, again, the shaila was, if it's lahikir ba, it's kedushay tais. But even if it's hikir ba, we actually pass again. That since the idleness is totally mufka from ibam, it's like a saras erva shalei b'makom mitzvah. Now, what is this one? This is a new case. Oh, shahayu nesuais liachayim, sorusayim mutarais, bein b'chaye habal, bein liachar misas habal. So let's first take idleness. So the Tosefta is mechalek, as the Mishnah would as well, between Misa and Gershin and Nimtzu Idleness. Misa and Gershin only matter the Tzara if it's Bechaye Habal and not if it's the Achar Misa. Mion is going to matter the Tzara the Yibam only Bechaye Habal and not the Achar Misa. So you need chalitza. Now you are chalitza because the araisa, the heir is not married. In other words, you understand that by the ma'enah she have to have chalitza for the tzara because the araisa, she's not a tzara sarah. So three out of the four, right? Misa, gershin, and mima'enes only matter the tzara if it's b'chayi habal and not afterwards. But the fourth one, nimtzu aylanis, that even works if it's nimtzu aylanis after Misa. Now the emesis, it's a little harder here, because it really depends on the lumdus of aylanis. If the lumdus of aylanis is kedushay tois, and there was no kedushin l'mafreya, you could actually ask Akasha, maishna aylanis from mima'enis. Imamahenes is also Iker the Kedushin Lamafreya, and yet we say, since Bishas Nefila, it looked like it's Soros Erva Yunish Chalitza. So Lachara, Imamahenes should be no different. It's Iker the Kedushin Lamafreya, but Bishas Nefila, it looked like they were married. So, just as a Har and Bishah, why is it so ungenomen, and indeed this is the Halacha, that by an islandist, even if it's nimsis liachar misa, the tzara does not, the tzara could even have ibam, as opposed to mima'enis. So one mahalach might be, islandist has a bigger kol, meaning to say, we don't always understand exactly why some things have a kol, some things not, but in mima'enis, people don't know how old a person was, people might think mian was a get, and therefore b'shas nefila nirets. But islandness, everybody knows it's a tois and it's Eikel Amafreya.
Now, but also it's up to him, right? He if he hikr ba, then it's a good kedushin.
That's good. I understand.
So you don't know. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't.
So you're saying it's a kasha.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you learn the other way, though, it's not a kasha. If you learn the way that we actually paskin, that an islandness, even if it's hikr ba. The tzara is muteres, because since the islandness is mufka from Eva, it's not considered a tzara's erva of maka and Eva. So at that point, the heter of the tzara is not because you're eiker the kedushin, but it's simply because the islandness is not in the parsha of Eva. So that's even after Misa, that's going to be the case. People see the islandness is not in the parsha of Eva. So lahalacha, it's not a kasha. Lahalacha, the differentiation between islandness and mima'enis is not so sure because they're working in two different ways. Mima'enis would work because you're Iker Lamafreya, and that you don't say. If Bishas Nefila, it looked like they were married. Islandness is a different problem. You're not Iker Lamafreya because even if it's Hikarba, then Saras Mutter. But the problem is simply the islandness is not in the parsha. Right? So that would be the difference. Now, okay. So the Tosefta has a total of five cases. Four are the same as the Mishnah. Mesa, Misa, Niskarshu, Mima'enes, and Ilanis. And three of them are only if it's B'chaye Yaba'al, and Ilanis is even if it's Shalom B'chaye Yaba'al. But then the Tosefta throws in a fifth case that is a bit inexplicable. And that is, Kulinch Nimsu Ilanis, Oh, Shahayu, the Suez, Liacherim. what does it mean, nesuais liacherim? Now, I thought, and I still think probably you only ever done that way, I thought nesuais liacherim just means the erva is married to somebody other than a brother. And it simply is establishing the rule, which the next mission will say anyway, that a tsaras erva of someone other than your brother is muteris. In other words, the suas, I mean that, right, v'kulan, this din that a tsaras erva is usher is only when it's married to your brother. If it's the suas, the acherim, it's going to be muter. And it makes no difference if the erva died b'chaye habal, whoever the baal was, or after the chaye habal, in fact, even if the erva didn't die at all, b'chaye. Now, if you look at the Nemukah Yosef, Nemukah Yosef doesn't say that. The Nemukah Yosef says, Nesuas liacherim, Shehayu liachiv kedushay tais ba shekidsha acher techila. A very bizarre case. In other words, the case is, brother married a woman that was already an Eishes Ish to somebody else. In other words, Nesuas liacherim before the brother married. In fact, even the Lashon, I wouldn't call that a Kedushay Tais. I mean, he calls it a Kedushay Tais. The Emes is not a Kedushay Tais. It's not Chal at all. She's an Eishes Ish. So basically, it's saying that if your brother marries an Erva who happens to already be an Eishes, marries an Erva to you, who happens to already be an Eishes Ish, the tzara doesn't become usher. Now, what does it mean, bein b'chai yamal, whether it's discovered?
Well, Lashon says it's nesuos. Lashon, if it was that way, then it wouldn't actually ever be.
Yeah, you're correct. The Nemukah Yosef's Lashon is, shekitsha acher, he changes it, you're right. The Gemara says nesuos, the Tosefta says nesuos, the Nemukah Yosef says, shekitsha acher techila. He seems to say it's left out, shekitsha acher techila.
They also can do that either.
Didn't do what?
They did a maisel, it looked like a dusha, but the maisel wasn't chal. It wasn't chal.
So, according to the Nemukah Yosef's translation of this line, so what would the chiddush possibly be? It must also just be a marasayan type of thing. In other words, I might have thought, in such a situation, since anyway, by mema'enes, even when we're eikir l'mafreya, we say, b'shas nefila, nirus katsaras erba, so maybe we would say, such as ach, even if the brother went through a motion of kedushin and she was already married. So kamash malan, but the I got no.
It's not going to be a cold on that.
We're not going to go so far with that. Okay, so mudna, very mudna, and that's why our mission does not even mention that case. Because apparently our mission holds it would be a davar pashut that if the mace did kedushin on a woman that's already an Eishes Ish, you're not going to have any halacha of tsaras there.
Okay. What's the havamina today?
The havamina would be v'shas tefila nearest tsaras tsaras erva. In other words, it would be the same getter.
Even though she's married, she's not married to my brother. It looks like.
No, but look like she's married to your brother.
And that's a great thing with Mukhi Yosef. We wanted to learn. She's married to someone else.
Oh, no. First of all, that absolutely is a chiddush because the Gemara had to have a drasha. There might be a havamina that there's a new issue in the Torah called Tsaras Erva. That is a din that the Mishnah itself has to
do. Tsaras Erva, even though she's not married to my brother.
I would have thought, that's correct. I would have thought there's an issue called Tsaras Erva. Okay. It's like a contamination of a poison or whatever it is. And that, for sure there's such a havamina, because in fact the Gemara had to have a drasha that Tsaras Erva is only usher but makai mitzvah. So that actually would work out much better, but the Nemukah Yosef doesn't learn that way. Okay. Now, the last line is a repetition of the Mishnah. If the Ketana Erva could have been Memenis and she was not, so she's, even if she's Memenis after Misa, Tsarasa Chaylatsas Velo Misya Bemes, the Tsara needs a Chalitza, but there is an Isher Yiba because Bishas Nefila, it was a Tsaras Erva. So why does the Rif bring this Tosefta? Again, let me just look at it. What is? I mean, other than the Budna case, which is hard to see, there's a big chiddush in of Hayu Nesuas Liacherim. L'chayra, the Tosefta does not add very much to the Mishnah. But what it does add, you see, the Mishnah doesn't say the Feresh. The Mishnah says, Mesu Niskarshu Miyanu. But the Mishnah does not say Befeirish that it had to be B'chayei Habal. Now we learned that way, we knew that. But the Mishnah didn't say that. So the Rif brings the Nisepta because the Nisepta says that Misa and Gershin is only B'chayei Habal. Eilanis and Mian, Misa, Gershin and Mian is only B'chayei Habal. And Eilanis is even Shelo B'chayei Habal. So we've been saying that all along, but the Nisepta actually says it Befeirish. The Mishnah does not say it. Say it Befeirish. Okay. Now we come to the next mission again. We'll perhaps we'll try to go a little faster just today. Sheish arayas, right? So what does the Mishnah say? 15 arayas, there's a din of Tzoras Erva. There are 6 arayas that are chamura Yisrael, that are more chamur. We'll see why they're more chamur. B'bnei shein nesuas liyachayim. So this Mishnah is actually going over the halacha that the Tosefta just said, that a Tzoras Erva is not a separate Shem Erva, it's only a special halacha for Yibam, B'makai Mitzvah. Therefore, whenever a woman is an Erva that is such a Chamer Dika Erva that none of your brothers could have, your daughter or your brother can marry. So it's Kamal Tzoras Erva. But Azah Erva that even your brother couldn't marry, so she had to be married to somebody else, and that person dies, there's no Isra of Tzoras Erva. So it's going to mention 6 arayas.
Like your sister. Huh? Your sister.
Right, right. Don't mention. In other words, there are going to be 6 arayas in which there is no conceivable way that any of your paternal brothers could ever marry. So by definition, she would have to be married to a non-brother, and therefore there'd be no din of Tzoras Erva. So now what are the 6? Imai. Okay, mother is the first one. Now, here's the thing. If the mother of Reuven is the mother of Shimon, so for stakes of Shimon could not marry her because it's his mother. But even if the mother of Reuven is not the mother of Shimon, right, Shimon still could not marry her because it would be a Shesav. So Mamela, the mother of my paternal brother will either be my mother or the Chala Pachas, my father's wife. Again, a Nusasav of Zimachlik, but at least father's wife. So Mamela, this woman could only marry a non-brother, so it wouldn't be Gemal Tzoras Erva. That's case one. Eishes Aviv, same thing. In other words, either my mother, Eishes Aviv. Achais Aviv. Right? The Torah says you're not allowed to marry your aunt, which is your father's sister. So again, my father's sister is also my brother's father's sister, because we have to have the same father for there to be Yiba. So by definition, she could only marry another guy. There'll be no din of Tzoras Erva. Achaisai Me'aviv. Your sister from the same father. Now, right, your sister from the same father will be your brother's sister from the same father. You can't marry. Now, as opposed to, right, you see that both in terms of aunt, Achaisimai. Achai Siman, my mother's sister, I cannot marry, but it would be possible for my half-brother to marry my mother's sister. Right? In fact, that's why the Mishnah says, in the 15 Arayas, it actually mentions Achai Siman, and it also mentions Achoso Me'imai. Okay? Because that's an erva that my sibling from the father could marry, and there would be Gemal Tzoras Erva, but Achaisai Me'aviv, and Achaisaviv, your brother could never marry. So those are 4. Eishes Ochiv Me'aviv, right? This is just a third aunt, right? We have 3 aunts that are forbidden here. We have, we have Achais Aviv, and we have Eishes Ochiv. Let's say the woman married a brother Reuven. Reuven either dies with children, or Reuven divorces her. So this woman is now an erva called Eishes Achiv Me'avit. So none of my brothers could ever marry her. So Mamela could only be Nesuas Li'achevim. There'll be no din of Tzoras Erva. And the final one is Eishes Achi Aviv. Again, this is your aunt, but instead of being the sister of your father, it is the wife, meaning either the widow or the divorcee, of your father's brother. Right? So that's your aunt through marriage to your father's brother. Once again, that would be the aunt of your brother as well. It wouldn't be Shaykh. Now, interestingly enough, Eishes Achi Imai is actually not an Erev Natari at all. It's very interesting. You have potentially four aunts, right? You have Achais Imai, you have Achais Aviv, you have Eishes Achi Aviv, you have Eishes Achi Imai. Three of them are aunts. Our aunts are forbidden min Atayra. But the wife of your mother's brother, assuming she's not an HSS, because she's divorced, is actually only a Shnia. It's not a Zoraisa at all. But be it as it may, the site of the Mishnah is the six Arayas. Any Erva that cannot be married to your brother, by definition, cannot Asur Mitzvah. Now, the emphasis, I think I was aiming at this, the structure of the Mishnah is a bit schwer, because the Mishnah seems to be Mechalek between the 15 Arayas, which can be married to your brother, and the six Arayas that cannot be married to your brother. But in reality, that's not the chiluk. The chiluk is not, can they be married to my brother or can they not be? The chiluk is, are they married to my brother or not? Meaning, there's nothing special about these six, because even in the 16, my own daughter, if my daughter marries a stranger, and that stranger dies, the daughter is an heir to me, but I can still marry the tzara, because a tzara's heir is usher, only b'makai mitzvah, and not shalei b'makai mitzvah. So the chiluk the Mishnah is making is b'chaira, not the essence of the chiluk. The chiluk is not, oh, the 15 arayas asur tzora, and the 6 arayas don't asur tzora. The chiluk is, when it's married to my brother, it's tzora's asur. When it's not married to my brother, it's tzora's not asur. So I'm not sure why the Mishnah is oimed on the 6. The 6 have the distinction that they cannot be married to my brother. But that's not the Siba of the Halacha. The Siba of the Halacha is the Mitzvah that they are not. And that would apply to any of the 15 as well.
In theory, you may think that if they, for example, the previous Zevta, maybe you would think that somehow, even if they were allowed to, but they were in some wacky world. In other words, you were married to your mother, you're one of these people.
Well, in other words,
the same
Havamina. A person's Makadosh and Erev, you're going to say that
one thing, Erev is different thing.
So it wants to make the point. Okay, I see. That I don't say Drabbanan.
Marisayim again?
Marisayim, potentially. You don't say Marisayim.
Why would you mention the six? So then one thing, you just say Erev, anything with Erev.
Yeah, okay, I hear. Well, because we want to have cases where it's an erva to the brother.
But I'm saying,
All right. Meaners of May, the first kasha that the Rif brings from the Gemara is a linguistic question. 6 arayas are more chomor than the 15. Why do you call them more chomor than the 15? Hacha kareis, v'hacha kareis, hacha mamzer, v'hacha mamzer. I mean, marrying Bitai is a chiyuv karis, marrying Imai is a chiyuv karis. What makes it chomer? What do you mean chomer? And of course, because it's karis, it creates mamzeris. So the Gemara's answer is, that's exactly what the Mishnah means. My chamurai she'enan linasei liachir shaloi biyabeira. In other words, the chomer is not in punishment, and not in mamzeris. The chaymer is, it's a za'erva that cannot be married by the brother. Now, again, the lashon of the Rif, we'll see if the Gemara uses this lashon. They cannot get married to my brother in a permissible way. What does that even mean? They cannot get married in an impermissible way either. Ein kedushin taisim. Well, what is this lashon? Einam yachaylim linase shalai biaveir.
Maybe just in general, what the Sefta and here is not using things specifically. In other words, when they say delusion, what it really means is not an actual delusion, what it looks like a mice delusion.
Yeah, that's correct. But I want to say,
is it opposed to the 15?
Huh?
It's as opposed to the 15. There's a 15.
The 15 is Kedusha Hefer.
Right.
And I understand. The color between the 15 and the 6 is not that the 15 are Kedusha Hefer. And the 6 are Kedusha Yisr. The Chiluk is, the 15 is Kedusha Yisr, and the 6, there's no Kedusha at all.
Okay,
I don't want to fetch too much, but to say, Eina Michaelim Minasei Shalom Aveira, I mean, I could say the same about my Kohen and the Grusha, you know. I mean, does the Gemara say the same thing?
Rashi on the mission explains like in case but without the problematic lashon. Yeshem kumos me'elu umau choymer shalhen shnesus lechem ein yechaylin leinasei.
Ein yechaylin.
The Gemara doesn't seem to bring it.
Where's the worst lashon of this is cars and that's cars?
I didn't see that anymore.
I don't even see it. By the way, the Buki Yosef says another thing, which is the way we learned actually, but it's going to point out the shtickle chiddush in what he's saying. The Buki Yosef says, what is the chiluk between Machar Mitzvah and not Machar Mitzvah? Why do I say a tzara is usher only by Machar Mitzvah? So the Buki Yosef says, because the getter of an Isra tzara is that once the Torah is mafkia zika, she now becomes an Eishes Ach without a mitzvah of Yibam. And therefore the Isser is, what is the Isser of a Tzara? Eishes Ach, Shalai B'Makom Mitzvah. Mimela, if the Tzara is married to somebody other than my brother, there's no basis to Asher her, because she's not an Isser of Eishes Ach. In other words, that's the getter. Now, what is the other way of learning? The other way of learning would be this. The other way of learning is that there is a new chalais shem iser called Saras Erva, but the Gezeiras HaKosov is that new chalais shem of Saras Erva is only when she's nefelis leiva. Because clearly, if there would have been a halavina that it does apply to a non-brother, it would have to be a new chalais shem. So when the Torah limits it to Yiva, is it the pshat? We accept the premise of your Havamina, but the Gezeiras HaKosov limits it? Or are we redefining the Yisr, that there is no such thing as a new Yisr called Saras Erva, but it's Eishes Ach? So the Mugi Yisr clearly learns, and that's what we were assuming also, that the Giloy of Makom Mitzvah is that it's not a new Shem Yisr B'chlal, it is only Eishes Ach. And Memeila is going to be much. Now let's see the Mishnah Vayter.
And just over here, we get into the Rosh, also brings the same lashon. on the Mishnah. No, but without the problematic thing, it says. It's not sure they had this gifts in the Gemara because it says Hacha Karz Lacha Karz Hacha Mamz Vacha Mamz Meichamur She'elin Yecholasein Asay Lacha Ve'echol Lacha.
Yeah, again, I don't want to express too much, but the lashon of shalei bi'aveira strikes me as very, very difficult lashon, because that's the lashon that you would use when kedushin is toleface.
But yeah, yeah.
You can't, but you're still in shalei bi'aveira. It's b'chlal not kedushin at all. Then you would just say it's not typhus at all. This is also this next Mishnah in the Gemara is connected to the Sheish Arayos. Again, the Rif splits the Mishnah. And surprisingly enough, when you learned it already, so you know, but we read that everything we learned until now, Beishana Yischeila Kudgamri, Mamish, Beishana Yischeila Kudgamri, on all of the Yisaitis of our Mishnah, and that is Beishamai Matirin Es Hatsaro Yisliachim. New thing, Mamish. That Beishamai holds, there is no Isser of Tsaras Irva. And not only does a tsaras erva need chalitza, but a tsaras erva can even have yibum. The whole Mishnah before is not according to Beis Shana. Beis Hillel, Eishrin, Beis Hillel is what our Mishnah goes like, that kitsura is forbidden, and that also means it's pure from a chalitza. And Memeila, this machlekes will have a derivative consequence. The real consequence is chalitza. What's the din? You give a yavama chalitza. So the din is a yavama that's a chalitza is not allowed to marry a kohen. That's a drabanan actually, according to most the Amrim in the Gemara, because a chalitza resembles a gerusha. But if you give a woman chalitza and she doesn't need chalitza, again, why isn't it Marasayan? It's not clear, but that's considered to be nothing. So Mamela, what is the din? If I give a tsaras erva chalitza, so according to Beis Shammai that she's a kuka, she'll be psula lagona. According to Beis Hillel, she's not a kuka at all. The chalitza is an empty, meaningless action. She can marry a kohen because I didn't have to give her chalitza. So we're not going to... It's interesting why... It's not a Marasayan. I mean, for example, this was a shadow by Reya Chaget. It says that if you give a woman a get, even when there was a Kedusha Tois, let's say there was a Kedusha Tois, but there was a Reya Chaget, you gave her a get, that's called a Reya Chaget. It smells like a get. So the halacha is, she's forbidden midrabana to marry a kohen. So it's interesting that here, according to Beis Hillel, you gave a woman chalitza who didn't need to get chalitza because she's a tzaras erva. So Beis Hillel says, "Moshe l'kahuna, why don't you call it reyach chalitza? Why don't you say, people don't know, people see chalitza. Maybe it's a gesera l'gesera because unlike a kibusha, which is an issur d'oraisa, even a real chalitza is only an issur d'rabbanan." So we're not going to be geyser fake chalitza because of real chalitza, where real chalitza gufa is midravan.
Reyach haget would make a chalal.
If she did marry a kohen,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. It wouldn't be a chalal. But
it's like they have nafkamina.
Yeah. We do have nafkaminas. We treat it, but so we wouldn't say that here either. I'm just saying that she shouldn't be able to marry a kohen. This is what the Ritva points out. The Ritva points out, remember, everyone knows the first mission in Makkos, right? This is everyone knows the first mission in Makkos. They don't get the second mission in Makkos. That's why you ever notice it's so many Maseches, the first few Dafa, always, very well learned. In the middle, it's a little more of a problem. So it's So that's why I had a minhag for years. I always thought I wanted to start in the middle of a masechta to be sure that you get the middle and then go back. But the thing is that it says Meid Nanu Bish Kwani, right? We're made that Reuven is a Ben Grusha,
right,
that his mother was divorced and then the Kohen married her, or a Ben Chalutza, so he's there for a Chalav, he's Basel Bihavaita. So the Mishnah says that if the Edom are made Zaymanim, and there's two other Edom say, how could you be made that this woman was divorced by your husband on such and such a day? You were with us somewhere else on such and such a day. So the Kasher Zaman would be that at least if the Edom are Kohanim, make them Chalavim, and they cannot do the Avaita, they cannot be Truma, they say, no, the Gezeres HaKasav is, that they get Malkus instead. Because the Gemara says that lo lazaro, that if I make them chalalim, I have to memela pasul their children. The Torah says you only punish them. Be it as it may, so the Ritva is a little horror. That Ritva, why does it say he's a ben Gerusha or a ben Chalutza? Certainly, since a Chalutza is only forbidden to a Kohen Midrabanan, so the child would not be a chalal. That's what you're right. Would not be a chalal. So why does it say there's any problem with Ben Chalutza Bechlau because of that? So the Ritva says a strange thing. It's a very strange thing to say in the Gemara. He says, Agav Gerara Naspa, that since the Mishnah always pairs Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza,
yeah,
so it mentions it together. Even though, that's an amazing thing, even though the thing actually does not apply to Ben Chalutza. That's a very sloppy use of language. But it says, Agav Gerara can even work in such a situation. Okay, so that's so the derivative of the machlekes of Tzoras Erbas, Musher Leibim or not, is Legabi Chalitza, Beis Shammai Paislam and Akahuna, Beis Hillel Mashir. Now, Misyabim, let's take the opposite. You're Miyabim a Tzoras Erba. Now, according to Beis Shammai, it's a good Yima. It's a good Yima. Bivalt, it's a good Yima. So, if the Yavam then dies, she could marry a Kohen, because there was no bias sinus that took place. But according to Beis Hillel, if Chas V'Sholem, a person was miyabim at Tzoras Erba, what? He was bayel an erba. She became an eshes ach. Now what's the halacha? A woman that was nivelas, a bias erba, is halachically a zayna, and she would not be allowed to marry. So paradoxically, therefore, they're in reversal. According to Beis Shammai, Chalitza will pasuler, and Yima will not. So we're coming. According to Beis Hillel, Chalitza will not pasuler, and Yima will, because she becomes a Zayna. Right? Well, let's try one again. What's the definition of a Zayna? A Zayna is a woman that had Bia either with a Goy, or with an Erva, which is a Kedushin Taifsin. According to Beis Hillel, a Tzoras Erba is an Erba that Ekedushin types in because she's an HS. So it turns out that you have different women floating out there that according to Beis Shammai can marry Kohanim if they are the widows of Yibam, and according to Beis Hillel cannot, and vice versa. There are women getting Chalitza according to Beis Shammai that Beis Hillel would hold their puzzle, the Kohuna. So the Mishnah then says, Afal Pi, She'elu Machshirin, Ye'elu Paislin. Even though Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai are Machshir certain women like Kahuna, and the other side would Pasel. Now, it's interesting whether you're nervous to parentheses. Elu Aishin Ve'elu Matirin, that's referring to the Etzem Din of Tzoras Erba. That Elu Aishin, Beis Hillel Asher, Beis Shammai Matir. So it's a question if you're nervous it, because the main point of the Mishnah seems to be the permissibility of marrying women like Kahuna. And that's the Elu Paislam, the Elu Machshivin. So it says, Lainimnu Beis Shammai Milisa Nasha Mi Beis Hillel, U Beis Hillel Mi Beis Shammai. That they married women from each other's family. The Gemara will say that obviously they were Modia. Now, this is the thing. People like to bring this Mishnah all the time when they talk about Jewish unity. The federations bring it to the States. They say, you know, you see, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so many machloksim, but they talked to each other, they married each other, you know. But But the Gemara explained, yeah, they married each other. So what are you raising questions about Geirus? They married each other because each one had a chazaka of being Maidia. In other words, Beis Shammai would say, we hold this woman as Muteris Levuna, but not for you, vice versa. So when you share the information accurately, you can marry each other, because everybody knows the situation. Chas v'shalom, it was not a situation like people say that Beis Shammai compromised his Pesach Halacha on Kahuna in the interest of Shalom. That wasn't the situation here. And then it gives another example. We're not discussing what they are, but there are various machleksim, agavi tumah v'tayra, where according to Beis Shammai, something's tamei, Beis Hillel, something's tar, and also to care, because there are certain yonim that are chumrei Beis Hillel, v'kulei Beis Shammai. So l'chayra, how could I buy truma from you, whatever it is, maybe, you know, it's tamei? The answer is, once again, each one was modiya. In other words, if I was Beis Shammai, and I was giving you something that would be tamei according to you, but not according to me, I would tell you it is tamei according to you. You can't use it with kodesh or whatever. And when nimnu mili aisen tyres elo al gabe. So now the Gemara asks about again. Yeah, the Gemara has a longer sugya. The Rivus Makatsu, Rakshina, aha. The Mishnah asks, I'm sorry, the Gemara asks on the Mishnah, Isnan, Beis Shammai Matirin as Atzaris Liyachim. Right, so din number one, Beis Shammai says you could be Miyavim Atzaris Erev. That's one din. Vesu, another din. Aha, Isnan. Nothing to do with Yavamis. Megillah Nikreis, Beachad Asor, Beshneim Asor, Beshleisha Asor, Bearbo Asor, Bechadisho. Right, first Mishnah Megillah. Although we don't do this today. We don't follow this minute today. But in the time of the Mishnah, Yudalit Tesvav were the 2 days that Mordechai and Esther established. Yudalit for the present, the open cities, and Tesvav for Yerushalayim and for any city that is Mukav Choma, Mimais Yeshua Ben. The Takana of the Anshei Knesset HaTehila. But the Chachamim made a special dispensation for people who lived in small villages, and they often would not be able to have a minyan, or people who were able to read the Megillah, but they would go to the big cities every Monday and Thursday, which were market days. In fact, that's goofa why Ezra was Kaveya Bate Dinim on Sheni B'Chamishi, because they were the market days. All this little question of chicken and egg, is it the Pshat? They became the market days because of the Bate Din, or the Bate Din were responding to the market. But there is a connection that these were market days, so they had regular court sessions, as well as Kriya Sateira on Sheni B'Chamishi. So Memela, Chazal permitted the Kfarim to be Maktim Kriya Samagila the Monday or the Thursday before Yudalit or Tisvav, in order not to be matriach on them, because what would happen is either they would have to schlep back to the big towns, or they wouldn't go and they would be mevatel megillah lagamri. So in order that they should have the mitzvah, Chazal gave a hedra of Yom HaKnisa, and the Mishnah Megillah makes cheshbonos that the earliest that could be based on the day of Purim is it will never be earlier than the 11th. So it might be the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. It might actually be the 14th. If, for example, the 14th is on Monday or Thursday, so the Kfarim are going to read on the 14th as well. All right, so be it as it may, it turns out that according to one machlokas, Beis Shammai Matir Saris Beis Hillel Matzers, and then we have another day where Megillah could be read on different days. So Frek to Gemara on both of these cases, Hari Khan, Lay Tiskei to do, which we darshan, Lay Tasu, Agudais, Agudais. Now literally, what is Lay Tiskei to do? It's a pasuk in Re'eh. So literally, it has nothing to do with this drasha. It refers to the idea that when someone dies, the minhagim of Avodah Zarah used to be, they would scratch themselves, mutilate themselves, pull out their hair, and scratch their flesh. And the Torah says you're not allowed to engage in those minhagim of Avodah Zarah. Lo tiskeidu, lo tasimu karcha, v'nei nechem l'meis. like to study to. That's what it means to Pip Shita. And according to Halacha, that's also what it means. But we have another drasha, like to study to. Do not make yourself into separate groups, that it is improper for some people to have one anhaga and some people have another anhaga, because then it looks like the Tiras Hashem is multiple Tiras. Now, I'm not going to give it to you, but here's the question. What exactly is, how many machloksim do you have in Shas? 50,000? How many? The Gemara picks, if the Gemara is asking, how can some people do this and some people do this? It's like Siskaidah. Why do you only pick, this is the only case that's fair? Sora Serva, how can you have Beis Shammah marry Sora Serva, Beis Hillel like Siskaidah? And how can you have Megillah being read on 5 days like Siskaidah? So go through it. The Gemara apparently does not have a problem with every single machlokas in Shas. The Gemara is not asking, how can there be machlokas? Right? So what is special? What is special about these two cases that all of a sudden the Gemara has a problem? You're not supposed to be doing two different things.
Isn't it partially because in both cases, you have cases where in Klal Yisrael, two groups are now going to be entirely different situations. Like you have Izzel Shabbat, you have two different groups of people.
I mean,
they'll marry each other.
I mean, let's say, first of all, it says they can marry each other because they were. Yeah,
but what I'm saying,
Mishnah makes the point they can marry each other. They did marry each other.
But they have two, like, they have a pick case of like, which Jew are you? You know,
okay,
It's in the sea, it's like,
okay. And what about Miguel?
Same thing, in different communities, doing different things on different days. Same thing on different days. It's very straight, like, on a very practical level. You have different people doing.
It just seems like, you know, you can come across 10,000 of these.
So I said, in Megillah, you also have Yudalit and Tezvah, which is probably Israel.
Okay, so that's not a kasha, because Leisasu Agudas Agudas, even in the Havamim, is only in a single community. I mean, if the Tezvah people are doing it in one city, two different cities.
Right, but if that's a kasha, that's a kasha.
Yeah, but two different cities, you'll see, it was never
right, but that should be a kasha also. Cities. Why not? People looking at aliens looking at will see the Jews observing holidays on different days.
Only if you're an alien above, you know, above the earth. In my city, we only
do Shabbat.
In your Shabbat, there are Shekhinot remote other places where they do have the Yudalit Minyanim and the Tetzvah Minyanim, and of course, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, which the Beis Yosef was against to have a Chutz Laaretz Minyan. Yes, it was much against it, but the minute is in Spachet. Rabbi Yeshua was against it too.
He didn't like it.
If let's say I'm a Chutz Laaretz person, I don't do malacha, that's not called public, because kama batlami mikibah shukra, many people don't do work anyway, so not doing work is not considered a bizayin. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashuv, they learn. It goes back to the Rishai Sefes, that to have a yomtiv to dominion, that already said is a zilusa territory. Okay. Kishem that everybody's maida, the other way, everybody's maida, Israelis are not allowed to have a chol minyan in Chutz Laaretz, but some are machalik. To do a chol when it's kedushas yomtiv, that's a bigger design. To do a yomtiv when it's chol, in other words, there is a svara to say there's more legitimacy for a Chutz Laaretz person to have a yomtiv minyan here than for an Israeli to have a Chutz Laaretz minyan there. But you're right. Rishayim is not machalik. You know, Shlom Zalman and Rabbi Yehuda.
I know the Israelis do have minyan. In places where there are no other Jews.
They're not the Jews.
They're not the Jews.
That's a separate thing. They could even do malacha.
Anytime
they can do malacha, they can have a minyan. But the problem is when there's an Israel malacha.
Right.
So they're all the Pesachim say that an Israeli in the United States should not have a chol minyan, even b'tzina.
The reason there's Zilus of the Yom Shev.
That's the Zilus of the Yom Shev.
People are going, like they do, look and right. Say, why should we have second Yom Shev? Right. I mean, maybe so that doesn't apply.
No, you're correct. There is a story of the Yom Shev.
So what's the basis? I mean, the problem is...
No, the Beis Yosef's problem is not Zilus of the Yom Shev, you're correct.
Obviously.
The Beis Yosef's problem is, it says Zilus of Livnei Eretz Yisrael and comes with Yom Shev, meaning to say that if we keep Chol, and you're creating Yosef, so even though you're just being machmir, it's a bizoyan to us. Like you're having your own practices, and therefore the Gemara says it comes from day machlokas. So people are going to
Just to do the person go to shul. I never figured that out. You don't have any chol in your house and so on, but do you go to shul just to
you should go to shul. Yeah, not with tefillin. Not with tefillin.
No, obviously not. I'm saying just go to the what
you should go to shul.
If you're an Israeli in America,
yeah.
And you don't have a minion,
yeah.
So you should go to shul to answer Kaddish Kedusha.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, in the midst of answering Drosh of Kedusha, you should hear Kedusha. Why not?
You shouldn't daven with a minion, but you've done it before, but you should daven alone.
That's a little tricky. Some people say, you don't put on tefillin, that's
a right. You put a tefillin in your
some
house.
Some people say, you daven, if it's not chalabot, you daven with tefillin, the yechidus, and you commit. Others say, okay, if you put on tefillin, say, kriyat shema, take them off, and then daven tefillah schal, because some say you will get the schar of tefillah b'tzibur, even though you're davening chol and you're davening yachtiv,
then
you're doing it b'tzibur. So that's the milo. Do you get the milo of tefillah b'tzibur if you're davening a different...
While we're talking about it, let's say you have 10 Israelis in Chutz Laretz, and you're going to the Minyan, and you're all going to be davening them because you want to get the... Okay. So would 10 of you be mitzaref to a Minyan?
For
Tzibur
B'Tzibur?
Yeah, you have 10 people.
Probably, yes.
You
can't have a Minyan, but they can...
No, you stand there and you
all... They can be a Tzibur within the Tzibur, yeah. I think so. You have 10 people davening. I think you'd have to have a consciousness. Right?
That's what I mean. It's to Madea.
There would be a conscious connection. Yeah, I think so. Sorry, that would be good.
What's the reason that you shouldn't, that you should daven alone? In other words, it's sort of
the
tefillin.
I'm saying you should sit down daven a whole tefillin, then go to the shul at some point, as much as you can, and just sit and say amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Just learn.
Whatever. That's right. Okay. So one area here is, let's talk about in the Mishnah in Brachas, right? There's Machlokes Beishamai and Beisilo. How do you read Shema, right? So Beishamai says at night you lie down, and Beisilo says you whatever you want, Omeg Yoshev, right? As Beishamai says, B'shachbuch av kumecha, literally at night you lie down, in the day you stand up. Beisilo says we don't care. Now, at a time before, and again, when we have the halacha to Beis Hillel, then there's no shaila. That was the Maaser of Rabbi Tarfon, who tried to be machmir like Beis Shammai, and he put himself in sakana. Okay, but obviously, the Gemara's kasha of Beis Hillel is before the psak. I mean, you have to understand. Originally, when you had a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it was not yet always determined at that time. Mamish, the halacha was like Beis Hillel. Meaning the Talmidim of Beis Shammai followed Beis Shammai. The Talmidim of Beis Hillel followed Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara's kasha of Leis Iskaidim is not asking a kasha, how could Beis Shammai do his din if the halacha is like Beis Hillel? Obviously, the Mishnah is recording a hanaga before the Psak. So we're asking before the Psak, there's a shaila of Leis Iskaidim. So, let me ask you this. Before there was a Psak halacha of Beis Hillel, if some people read Kriya Shema lying down, some people read Kriya Shema sitting, would that have been a Leisa Skaidim? The Gemara doesn't have to mean, all that bothers me is, the Gemara is choosing two machloksim out of a myriad of machloksim in Shas, and all of a sudden saying, how could they do it? Of course, let me ask you another question. All right, how would you answer that? Leisa Skaidim, they can't do two different things. Okay, so which should they do?
You go by the majority in that city, right? Majority were for Beis Hillel, so you go by Beis Hillel.
So the Gemara's kasha, in other words, if Leis Iskaidim does not permit you to have a single community, where people are doing different things. So you automatically would have to say the miyut would be covered to the right, even if there was no hachra by a Sanhedrin. Meaning, we're not talking about a Sanhedrin possibly. We're simply talking about majority of a population. So some cities might be Beit Shammai, some cities might be Beit Sela. And that wouldn't be Leisus Gaim, because those are two different cities. Okay, but again, we still want to try to get a shot. What is miyuchad of these cases? So this is where the Gemara asked the Kaddish of Leisus Gaim.
I'm not sure how much this applies to the Beit Shammai, but the Megillah, certainly what we're doing is being koveya lechatchila. I mean, we're setting up a system whereby we are determining that halachically this is what you mean. We're creating, I don't know, gradations or. It's not the point that there's a machlokes here in something. I don't know, actually, it doesn't apply.
Yeah, this is not a machlokes, you're correct. Megillah is not a machlokes. Megillah is a takana. A takana that deliberately introduces diversity into the different times that Megillah will be read.
So maybe that's doing it to the Beis Shammai, the fact that they were, meaning we usually think it's a maile, look, they married each other, but maybe they're saying, no, what's with this tolerance of each other? Meaning they're accepting a status quo of having two different maybe that's the problem.
Two
the problem
different
is,
registries. We have our Kahuna registry, you have your Kahuna registry.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem is accepting that status quo, meaning either putting it in the Chalchila or accepting that we should be like that.
I hear. I mean, the question would also be in terms of what is the Gemara saying you should do? So the Gemara is asking Akasha that these two practices are a problem because of Leisus Gaim. So what would you do? So for Megillah, the solution would be pretty simple. Let's not help the Yom HaKnisa, we'll just help the Yudalot HaSvav. Never. We can't help you because it's Leisus Gaim. In the case of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it's a little less clear. So you said you wanted a Taina that we would follow the majority. I was thinking maybe another possibility. I was thinking that you do something that is mutually acceptable according to both parties. By that I mean the following. You could enact a takana that b'chulei alma a tsaras erva needs yibam and she cannot marry a kohen. So, the tsaras erva needs chalitza and she cannot marry a kohen. Meaning like this. Beis Shammai will be mavatir on the yibam because of Beis Hillel. But Beis Hillel will be Machayev Chalitza because of Beis Shammai. And both will treat the Chalitza as forbidden to marry. In other words, if you're looking for a time, what would be a practice that would be not forbidden? In other words, that you're not Iver and Isser. To do Yibam, you're Iver and Isser like Beis Hillel. To send her off without Chalitza, you're Iver and Isser like Beis Shammai because it's Yavama Lashab. So the practice that both would agree would not be a transgression would be give her chalitza. And even though according to Beis Hillel that's superfluous, they would agree together that such women, and I'm just asking what is the alternative to the different opinions, would be that she would be a chalitza that's forbidden to a kohen. So I'm not sure. So one possibility is that the Gemara's kasha is the miyut should defer to the rov. The other possibility would be a unified common denominator, minhag, that would not be an avera like either view. That might be the possibility of the kasha. Okay. All right, we're going to come back to it because I do want to see if maybe you can check this also. I wasn't able to check it for Shainim here. If the Gemara's kasha about these two cases is simply, this is a mashal, but really all of the cases would be. Although it's pretty sure, Yavamas is not the beginning of Shas. I mean, there's a good, how many blocks you have? A good 500 blocks until you got here. This is the first time in Shas that we ask the kasha of Leisus Gaim. So it's a very, very madna zach. So let's see what the Gemara says. So the Rif Paskin is a very important site. It's very nogea la'alacha today. The Aske Rava, Ki Amrinin Leisus Gaigadu, Kegayim based in Echad Beir Achas, Plad Myron Kedivri Beis Shammai, Plad Myron Kedivri Beis Hillel, Abul Shnei Batei Din in Beir Achas, Leslan Ba, Vakal Shekain, Shnei Batei Din in Beshtei Aras. Now let's start from the bottom upwards. It's Pashut that, what do we mean by a based in there? We don't mean the Sanhedrin. Obviously, Sanhedrin was not a local. But we mean, essentially, the leadership that a kehila is makabe. We're talking about Ashkenazim, Sephardim, right? A kehila, right? That Yidden organized themselves into kehilas, and they were makabe certain hadracha in the yanim of halacha. That's what we mean by a basin. So, shnei batei dinim b'shnei ayaris. If the different halachic authorities are in different cities, it's pashit to the Gemara. In fact, even in the Havamim, that was pashit. That there's no loisis gayudim. Because in the same geographical makayim, there are no chilukei days. But Rav is mechadesh, and that's actually machlekes in the Gemara, but the Rif paskins this way, that even in a single city, it is shayich to have shnei batei dinim b'ir achas. So when will loisis gayudim apply? If you have a single leadership within a city, but the paiskim themselves are not machria, so when there are different things going on, that is loisis gayudim. But when you have different batei din, so Ashkenazim and Sephardim would be the most common, blatant example, or chassidim and mishnagim. And in fact, different groups of chassidim may have the status of different batei din. So when you have groups, right, identifiable groups who have different minhagim, that's not loisis gayudim. Now, of course, the emphasis is very straight to understand. Because the very translation, loy sasu agudais agudais, don't make separate groups. You're telling me that doesn't apply when you're making separate groups. The chayra doesn't skupa, what the Torah says. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is that we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Kugel among almost everybody, and some people put on Bitsina, but it's
is that all there is a smell, or is that just
a smell? Up in the Galil, they're Haifa, they're in their communities, yeah. Where some of the diehard Yetis put on film. But Derek Lau, they say that if you come to Eretz Yisrael as an Oled, your Eker, your Dira, even if your minhag was to put on film without a bracha, you do not put it on. If you're visiting, then you put it on Bitsina, like if that was your minhag. So one of the shaylos that Mishnah Berurah is very machmer on is in America, or Chutzlar, it's in Europe, there are many minhagim. Some don't put it on, some put it on without a bracha. I don't think anybody makes a bracha as long as that, but it's really a machlekes rishayim. The machlekes rishayim basically is Chol HaMoed a Yom Tov, right? A Yom Tov, you don't put on tefillin, what's the status of Chol HaMoed? It's a big machlekes rishayim. So the shayla is, so in America it's very common that you'll have some people putting on tefillin and some people not putting on tefillin. So the question is, are you allowed to have them daven in the same minyan? So if it's a big show, you could announce we have tefillin minyan and we have not tefillin minyan. But what if, what if it's not a big show? What if you have a minyan? So the
mission. Why is that okay? The two minyan, isn't that a store from?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. The question is, let's even ask that.
It's like two dynamic, two business, two different things.
Makes it two basins, even though it's one show.
One rub.
With one rub, but what?
No, it didn't have the same
show. People are doing that.
No, but here's the concept. The concept is, if I wear tefillin, because I'm saying on those paiskim who say, so it turns out that those minhagim become my basin. In other words, basin doesn't have to be something that's alive now. That's my base then. So it would imply shnei batei dinim b'ir achad. Shnei batei dinim b'ir achad, just like Ashkenazim and Sephardim. But the Mishnah Berurah says they still should not daven in the same room. It's not clear what the makor of that is, because in the Gemara itself we don't have that still, but he says the mamish have different minhagim going on in the same minyan, even if it's shnei batei dinim. Now that was a charamin, Ashkenazim and Sephardim.
They have one
shetu,
they put
a
whatever.
Well, that's just not going to be that's a shalom. But I know that I always got that. So I used to be machmer in this. Tefillin minyan, not. The problem is
it's two different rooms.
Two different rooms. Now,
we had in America, we had outside, one inside and one outside. Yeah, like in the
same shetu.
We tried to have two different minyan. But often, for some reason, we had many more people without tefillin than with tefillin. So I still remember every second age about, because a man who wore tefillin had yahrzeit for his father in Chol HaMoed. It was
could not find enough people.
He gave me grief like for 20 years. Most of the time, we got a minion, but it was sometimes a big delay for this. But anyway, so the question becomes, but again, it's a very mundanizar. So he's telling me, Mr. Burr says, they shouldn't be in the same minion because that looks like agudas agudas. So instead, we kick them out. It's a difficult sugya to really grasp. If it's a totally separate minion, so good. They have their distinctness, maybe. Even though that's incredible.
I don't know. Like, if they're in one minion, at least it's not two agudas.
Yeah, it's better to be in one than. Yeah.
You could say.
But this is nogea a lot of things. Ashkenazim and Sephardim, right? Do you do your minhagim? In other words, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be machadish, and that's what I'm saying. That even the hetter of shnei batei dinim b'yerach, which allows Ashkenazim and Sephardim to have separate minyanim because they're taila and they're separate batei din, but when they're mamish doing something in the same place at the same time, there should be an achdus. So that would suggest l'chayra, the same way your chayshus on tefillin, that would suggest in Yonim of Tachana and all sorts of other things, that...
Many shuls have that here. When they have one nusach. It doesn't matter whether you're Ashkenazim or Sephardim, you have to daven according to this nusach.
I understand, but Yechidim still do their own thing, most of the time.
I have to say,
Ashkenazim are more flexible. Sephardim never give up their thing. So no matter what they get called up for an aliyah, Ashkenazi Shalio, they say the bracha like, they never give up. So the question is it a laisa skater to let the Mishnah Berurah subside? They have these different hasafas and like. Okay, we'll come back to this. But this is the aside. Shnei batei dinim b'ir echad. There is no din of laisa skater to do. And kimat, every single place in the world, b'zman hazeh, has a din of at least shnei batei dinim b'yirachet, because Klal Yisrael is a kibbutz goliath. Now, there might be situations, in Europe it used to be, not so much so today, where certain cities had such an established mesera of psak, if you were kind of a visitor, so to speak, you couldn't do it. And that is part of the issue, going back, that's part of the issue of why Rebbe Yosher and Shlomo Zalman were against the Yom Tov Sheni Minyan in Eretz Yisrael, because even though you may come from Masera there, but here, all the Bat Dei Dinim of Eretz Yisrael, so to speak, only have one day. So for you to bring in that would be a laisus gaita. That would be the issue. Okay. All right, let's go. We'll go back over this one. Just finish the next video. Tani Rabbanan, again, the Rebbe brings another Tosefta. Yesh Chelsis Omis Yabmais. Some women have Yiva Mor Chalitza. Chelsis Velo Mis Yabmais. They only have Chalitza. Mis Yabmais Velo Chelsis. We haven't had that yet. And other women are Lo Chelsis Velo Mis Yabmais. So we start with the last case first. Arayas Shamru. Putting aside Sarah. Sarah is a machlech shalom. You make hello. The Sefer doesn't get into that. But an era, right? Your brother marries your daughter, so the woman has no chalitza, no yibum. Okay. Maisaf aleya. But there's some other women that don't have chalitza or yibum. Eishes siris chamak. Eishes adroginas. Eishes ach minoein. Eishes ger. Eishes eved meshuchrar. Ba'ailanis, lo chalzais, lo misyabais. So let's go over each of these. A saris is a person who cannot, a man who cannot have children. But there are two types of sarisim. One is a saris adam. That would be a castrated person. And the other is a saris chama. Chinese chama means fever, a person who is infertile because of sickness. Or illness. Now, a saris adam cannot marry. That's called a psua daka krushaf, right? So we're not talking about a man who cannot marry. A saris chama is allowed to marry. But the
saris adam can marry again. Man can marry certain people.
Marry again, he's psua daka, yeah. But a saris chama is not a kedushin b'aveira. A saris chama is allowed to marry. But the wife, the almana of Esteris Chama, does not have Yibam or Chalitza, because the only time a woman is a kukul Yibam is only if the mace was raw to have a child and didn't have it. But if the mace was not raw to have a child at all, there is no Zika. So an Eishes Teris Chama is lo chaletzes lo misyabemes.
Of a regular Swiss Adam, if he became that while they were married, he has to divorce her?
Yeah. Yes, he does. He does. It's a Pesuot Dagon. Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole shayla, by the way. It's actually a relatively common operation. There's a whole shayla of a prostate operation. The prostate operation may halachically make a first Pesuot Dagon.
So
different poskim that
it is
very common. I mean, the poskim will moderate based on where the cut is made. You have to go through the anatomy of it. That the cut is usually made in the chalal of the goat. So luckily, the tzuadaka it has to be cut in the scrotum as opposed to higher up. So depending, you have to be very precise. You have to look exactly.
So you have to tell the doctor how to do it.
Yeah. Well, no. I think the commonly today, the most common. You have to go to a rabbi. You have to go to a rabbi and say, "This is the operation that is being proposed." Now, there is another shita. This is very fascinating. There is another shita like this. Listen to this shita. The Novalda the Kula. One should not be sidechal. There is a black and operator. That since a siris chama is mutter lavo bikam, so we say. Any surgical operation that is because of illness, you're a service because of illness. Not because, so they actually treat like a Swiss chama. Now the reason why that's a very big chiddush is, you needed the operation because of prostate cancer, but the mice says it was a human castration. So I'm saying, human castrations that come as a result of illness fall under the category.
Same thing when you're under surgery, you say but after you finish surgery, you're not sick anymore.
No, but they kind of that since the surgery was done because now this is also not only a prostate operation, which unfortunately is sometimes absolutely necessary, but if a person had a vasectomy, which is not allowed anyway, but a person had a vasectomy, the shadows of the vasectomy make you a pituitary doctor. So again, it depends where the cut is. It's in the halal, it's not in the scrotum. Okay, but be it as it may, an Asian
from birth is okay.
Huh?
From birth, you can get married. You can get married.
If what?
If he's born with the...
Yes, he can get married. That's called a Swiss Chama. Yes, Swiss Chama is lav dafka, sickness that comes later. It means any type of condition that renders him infertile that was not a result of human anatomical cutting. Right? So a Swiss Chama is allowed to get married, but the problem is that there's no Zika Leiva for the girl of a Swiss Chama. Now, what's an androgynous? It's also an androgynous, the word we use. Coming to English from the Greek word. So we have tumtum and androgynous. What's the difference? These are people with indeterminate gender, but the difference is a tumtum is a type of person whose genitals are simply covered and we cannot tell visually what he is, what he or she is. An androgynous is someone that has both simonim of Zichris, simonim of Nikavis. And the one thing that Chazal were Kobeya is, that an androgynous is not capable of having children, one way or the other, either as a Zohar or as a Nikeva. Now, what about his Kedusha? Can an androgynous be Makadish? So there is a fourth pregnant. Maseches Bikurim has three Prakim of Mishnayos. Then there's a fourth Perek that actually is an appendix of Mishnayos, but it is really a Brisa that for some reason got connected to the Mishnah, just like the sixth Perek of Avos is a Brisa that got connected to the Mishnah. And that fourth parak is about Adine Adragonis. And it's fascinating. There are six different Gersas. Just look at this. Gersas Hagra, Gersas Abahad, Gersas Abarami Pano. Gersas different. But one of the things that we say is that even though it's hard to know together, in some ways we call him a suffix after suffix in Keva. And yet we say he's able to be Makadesh in Isha, but a man cannot be Makadosh. So that seems to say that you're looking at him as a Zohar. But, be it as it may, even though the Kedusha is a big Kedusha, the Balti is not Roy Lahailit. He is like a Saris Chama, and therefore, the woman, the almana, has neither chalitza nor nor yibam.
How is the term today?
The question becomes, well, if a person is an androgynous, he's an androgynous. The question is, are you allowed to have gender assignment surgery, and what is the status of the gender assignment surgery? So here, the Paiskim HaMachalik, let's first talk about a sex change generally. What if a man wants to become a woman, a woman wants to become a man. So there, many Paiskim say, the Torah is not makir, the possibility of that shinoi, meaning a man who becomes a woman is still a man. It's very, very difficult. A woman who becomes a man is still a woman. But the Paiskim say, hagam, once you have a kvias at birth, that you are a man or a woman, it's not shaykh to change it surgically. Since an androgynous does not have a definitive kvias, because for certain purposes,
Zohar... I said you can't change it surgically?
Once there's a kvias, halacha does not recognize the change, but halacha does recognize the ability to assign an androgynous, because the androgynous doesn't have a definitive identity. So you can make an androgynous.
We work backwards. Will we say if we see that he's roi lahidid, would we say that makes him by definition not an androgynous? If we have cases today,
That could be. After the
post facto, we look at it and say that. So you see, he wasn't.
That might be the swara. That might be a swara. He's able to be by the.
What about not? What about no surgery? Let's say he was left with both simonim.
But somehow he was able to.
So be would that show us that that's not what Chazal called an androgynous?
I'm not sure, because the Maisei has the Simonim.
I'm just wondering if they're stating a fact of or they're just saying
generally. It's similar to Treyfus. See, what you're raising is a very similar decision. We say there are Simonim Chazal gave that animals are Treyfus, different perforations. And Chazal also said a Treyfus is not Maile, and a Treyfus cannot live more than 12 months. Now, the problem is that we do have animals with all of these different things that can live more than 12 months. So do I go backwards and say, oh, if it lives 12 months, then even if it has a simon trefa, it's not a trefa? Or if, let's say, it gives birth. Although they ask it as a kasha, all the paiskim say that, good, it happens to be trefas generally don't live and they don't give birth, but that doesn't make it a trefa. What makes it a trefa is the simon. So even if that phenomenon does not exist, but it gives birth and it doesn't die within 12 months, it is still a treva b'kayach the semen. I would think a similar lumpness, I would say, by the androgynous.
I mean, not being able to be murdered, it's just a simen of the simen, which is the actual simen is really correct.
It's a characteristic that accompanies the espousal of androgynous, but that could change, maybe in the miyuta cases, and that's not kaiveya, that's not a siba. The siba's androgynous, although, here it is, by the way, here it is, in other words, right, the Tosefta says it did, the Aishis Adreganus Lo Chalesis Lo Mishibamis. Actually, that is the Siba Vein of Reilu Heidel, Vein of Kinnati. It might very well be, if somehow we knew he's right, let's say he had a kid and the kid died, it might be maybe she would be Mishibamis. That could be. But what's Kaiveya for most of the halachas is not the Nachal Siba. This is a special rule of Vein of Reilu Heidel.
Medically today, it's called what, a hermaphrodite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The inside, what's going on the inside?
Well,
they have both, fine, they can have both outward simanim, but inside it's very different.
Well,
Do they have ovaries, have a rechem?
Well, most of the time they do not have ovaries. That's part of why they can't be by the kinakeva. But sometimes they do. What often happens is things are incomplete.
They could have testes and ovaries.
Absolutely. This is a very, very hard situation. Johns Hopkins in Baltimore has the leading gender reassignment clinic in the world. And these are real difficult situations because, I mean, even, the man wants to be a woman, those are psychologically difficult, but that can be treated in different ways. But in a dragon's budget has both simanim, it's not fair to leave a person in that type of life. So the price to do matter a gender reassignment surgery for the hermaphrodite, even if they would not moderate for a man or a woman who's done it. This was a problem in YU. There was an English, very popular English professor, Jewish professor. I think he was Jewish. He shows up a year later or something as a woman. What is YU for a front place?
Can you shake his hand still?
That's right.
Mars Iron, maybe.
That was the question. Okay. Well, let's just finish the list here. So we have Aishas Sores, Rishama, Aishas Adreganis, Aishas Achminoe, Martas Vishnetach. Let's say I have a half brother who is not my brother from my father. My mother married twice, and he's the half brother from a different father. So Vishnetach, when he dies, it's Aishas Achminoe. She's an heir to me, and there's no Chalitza, so there's no Eva. Now, Aishas Ger. Now, what is the case of Aishas Ger? I mean, if the Ger doesn't have any brothers, that's Pashut, there are no brothers. So look at the book of Yosef.
How's the Ger going to have brothers?
Well, Ger can never have a brother, you're correct. Rashi says, Rabbi Yosef says, second.
The case is a pregnant
woman converted when she was carrying twins. This is called Hayrasai Shalai Mikdusha. And we don't care, the father could be a guy, the father could be a yid, it makes no difference. But let's say the father is a guy. Right? It's Hayrasai Shalai Mikdusha. She converts when she's pregnant. Leidasai Mikdusha. So these two boys did come from the same father. They did come from the same father. And so biologically, they are both Achim and Av and Achim and Ayim.
So why the Gerim?
The reason they were Megayim. In other words, how do you understand the status? They were conceived as Goyim. So the Gemara says, Vayter, that the way they became Jews is through the Gerus of the mother. And we bound they became Jews to the Gerus of the mother, so Gershin Iskayer, Kikut Shanaila Dami, and therefore that's Iker, the relationship they had with their father. Because the Gerus, right?
Well, if they're born Jewish, because they're connected to her, as soon as she's an Iskayer, and then a day later they're born, and she's a din of a Jew, then Manasseh, they would be related to the father. Right?
That's actually the question. This is Mukhik from the Sugya Vayter. I mean, the question is, when a pregnant woman converts, are the children Jews by birth, or are they Jews by conversion? Now, you could learn two ways. You could learn they were born from a Jewish mother. They're Jews. They didn't have to have a gerus. They were born from a Jewish mother. It's a shame that if she got pregnant after her gerus, the kids are born from a Jewish mother. But the Gemara says not that way. The Gemara in Ohardo says like this. The Gemara discusses chatzitzas as if a muberes is miskayer, the kids don't need tefila. The Gemara asks, let it be a chatzitza. The Gemara says that since the mother's body protects and nurtures the child, it's not called a chatzitza. But what do you mean chatzitza? What is chatzitza? The kids don't need. Chatzitza would imply that somehow the kids have to go to the mikveh to become Jewish. Why do they have to go to the mikveh to become Jewish? They're born from a Jewish mother. So vice the chais, you see that if the conception was in a state of not being Jewish, you need a gerus. And elamai, the gerus of the mother is a valid, or the tefillah of the mother is a Gershom Shul. Now, this is Nogay, I'll tell you, this is very Nogay, I'll tell you where they bring this right in the stand. The issue of surrogate mothering. Here's the question. Let's say, or egg donation, let's say the zera of a Jew, let's say fertilizes a non-Jewish egg, which is then implanted into a Jewish mother, and the kid is born. This is done. I'm not suggesting he's a butcher to do this, that's not, I just want to discuss the shaila of what is the status. So the shaila people ask is the child Jewish? Because the child emerged from a non-Jewish body? Or is the child a goy? Because what was impregnated, what was conceived, was the zera, not the zera, the beya, the egg, of a non-Jewish woman. So l'chaira, some want to bring a raya from here. You see that if a non-Jewish woman is impregnated, and then she converts, the reason the children are Jewish is not because they were born from a Jew. They're Jewish because the gerus of the mother is a valid gerus. That even if you're born from a Jewish mother, you need gerus if your conception was shelo b'kedusha. So l'chaira, that's mamish the case of the surrogacy, which would indicate the child would need a gerus. Achar ha'maisa, since the Jewish birth mother didn't convert, so the kid would have to have a gerus. Now some want to say, well, maybe the kid doesn't need a gerus, maybe all you need is the Jewish mother to go to the mikveh, because in other words, that's the shayla. Because the din, that the tevila of the mother can help for the vlad, does that mean only if the mother is converting? Or does it mean any tevila, in other words, the mother, the Jewish mother, could go to the mikveh with the kavana, in front of a basin, I'm doing it b'kavana to be megayer the vlad. And that's a machlokes within that halach. But the chayra, without that tevila, the pashtus of the sugya is the kids would not be Jewish, meaning they're not Jewish automatically because they're born from a Jewish mother, since their conception was shelo b'kedusha. Memela, the case of and that's why it's called Eishes Ger. Why is he called a Ger? He's not a Ger. You see, called a Ger. Elamai. So even though they were both born the same time from the same father, because of the gerus, that's mafkia the relationship.
That's how it passes on my side. If a kid is born, is regarded in utero by a mother, he's considered a ger in life.
Well, it's a machlokas out of Paschim, but maybe even so Paschim. In fact, that has a lot of interesting ramifications. First of all, it has a ramification. If a daughter, pregnant woman converts and has a daughter, while she's pregnant, and has a daughter, can the daughter marry a goy? Because if she is a din of a geyres, even though it's b'chusim about skimmel, she cannot marry a goy. That's one nafkamina. If, on the other hand, she's a born Jewish girl, she could marry a goy. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is sigdilu yechaylem limchais. The Morning Suba says, when you're megayer a katan, since a katan doesn't have das, when he becomes bar mitzvah, he could be meicher.
Sure, that's the kulin.
Yeah. So the question is, what is the din of a muberes sheniskayra? Because if the fetus is Jewish, only mikayach conversion is would have the din of being megayer a katan. So when the katan becomes a gadol, they could be meicher. Yeah. If on the other hand the kid is a Jew by birth, because he was born from a Jewish mother, then for Shteitzach he could not be Mofer. So it's a very big nafkamina. What is the status of pregnancies during Geiris? But the pashtus of this Tesefta is that it has a din Geiris, and that's the pashtus of the Sugya in Orel that says, Muberesh in Iskaira, Bina Ein Sarathbil. Now, one little lower that the Ramban is saying that. The Ramban raises this question. If you're telling me that non-Jewish fetuses need conversion, and it only works off the conversion of the mother. So here's our problem. Our problem is that l'chaira, if she gives birth to a boy, the boy should not be Jewish until he has mila, because tefila alone isn't good enough. So that's the question. Is the kid Jewish at birth or only after his birth? Mm-hmm. So the Ramban wants to be mitzadeh, that there may be a sora that even though the fetus needs tefillah, but calls man that it's yoinik from the mother. He has a din of a bas, and therefore only needs tefillah. In other words, the mila would only be milas Yisrael, it wouldn't be milas geirim, per se.
When the son to say against another Rabbi Yehuda, that's going against the pasuk, so that's this Sefta and Gemara. Do they have makamot based on?
Say you didn't hear you.
The other son that says that as long as he's born from a Jewish mother, the point of birth is Jewish.
Yeah.
What are they based on? What's their
It's a big thing. It's a question of learning different rayas. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik wanted to say, this is what Rav Chaim wanted. Rav Chaim wanted to say the following idea. Rav Chaim wanted to say that the din that a fetus needs a gerus, is only if it's a fetus that's more than mem yayin. But since if it's pachas mi mem yayin, it's mayim bialma, it's like it didn't exist. In other words, it didn't exist as a goy at all. And therefore it's called a born Jew. Now that would be very relevant in the egg donation, because typically the egg is implanted into the Jewish woman, pachas mi mem yayin. So according to that, you would not need a gerus. But on the other hand, for a mamish pregnant woman, the pashtus is, you have to go through gerus. In other words, Rav Chaim says that an uber pachas mi mem yayin doesn't have the status of a being at all. So it's kilu, he never was a goy. There's no goy there. There's nothing there. And therefore, when it becomes mem yayin, it's already in a Jewish woman. So it's a Jew. So that would at least be machalik with the egg donation and the like.
I remember once they brought the medrash with Dina and Yosef.
They bring around this week's parsha. This week's parsha, they bring a raya. It says that Yaakov had Dina, and it doesn't say Leah became pregnant. It doesn't say Batar. So Rashi brings the medrash that says that originally Leah was pregnant with Yosef, and Rachel was pregnant with Dina, with the girl. And Leah was mispalel because if she would have had Yosef, that only would have left one shevet, Binyamin, for Rachel, and that would be a bizayin because she was less than the two, less than the shvachas. So Targum Yain, and therefore it was mishapech. Now Targum Yainasen adds, which Rashi doesn't say, that it doesn't simply mean Hashem changed the zohar to the mekeva, but rather Hashem made an embryo switch. Embryo switch, meaning to say, Rachel was carrying a girl, and Leah was carrying a boy. Hashem switched the fetuses. So genetically, Dina was conceived from Rachel's egg, and Yosef was conceived from Leah's egg. And yet we see in the Torah that you're always miyaches Rachel, Adina, after Leah. And Yosef after Rachel, vice dechayt, you go buser the birth mother. So that might indicate you wouldn't need a conversion. But again, they want to be mechalek between Jew and Jew guy. Meaning to say that even if it's true for Jew, experience birth, but the din of geiras,
the yichus isn't shaykh anyway by the months.
Yeah,
so like what's enough kamina? They're still same father.
Yeah, spiritually it's enough kamina. You're right, there was no halacha that turned down the
yichus
to the mother. Yeah,
The corollary of this would be that if you took a Jewish, genetically Jewish baby, let's say from mother and father, and put it into a non-Jewish surrogate mother.
That's correct. You'd have a problem. You'd need a gerus.
But according
I'm sorry, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
Would
if you say
you would
need
not
a
need
gerus.
A gerus. That's correct. You would not need a gerus. That's correct. So we'll go back to this, but this is the aside of Eishes Ger. So the case of Eishes Ger is Hayrasai Shavai Mikdusha, Leidasa Mikdusha, they're not related, and the same thing with Eishes Eved Mishuchrar. Again, this would be the same thing. Let's say you have an Eved, in other words, a Shukra Kenaimis that got pregnant and had twins, and then the Eved is Meshuchrar, so B'chia Gavni, he's not related to his brother because Shichur is like a Geirus. And then, of course, a Melon, as we already know, is even if it's Hikarba, Lo Chalsis, Bulai, this yadmas. Okay, this should be a little bit ahead. Now, category two, hachareshes hasheita sheita misyadmos v'lo choltes. Chareshes is eina sheimas ve'eina medaberes, and a sheita. Now again, in the time of Chazal, there's a big shaila. Maybe we'll talk about this. We'll get into it later. Chazal made a presumption, right? We always have the cheresh sheita b'kata, that an eino shemei ve'eino medaber is mentally incompetent. What about the fact, you know, Helen Keller, whatever it is, able to write books, able to lecture? They said the Chassam, not the Chassam Sefer, the Kassav Sefer. The Kassav Sefer visited in Vienna, which was the first school, the public school, to train deaf and mute people how to communicate. The Kassav Sefer said, if Chazal would have had such schools, they probably would have posited that a cherish could be a bardas. Just inside of Chazal, they literally did not have avenues to train kids. Some of them, they were considered to be lav b'nei das. Now, whether we're knowing that way, halacha.
That's a whole question. He said the halacha would change, or
he said the halacha would change. Yeah. But be it as it may, what is the problem here? The problem here is a very interesting thing. Let's take a shite to somebody who's mentally incompetent. That's not so easy to do. Let's shite to lav b'nei das. So a lav b'nei das can still have hebo. How can she have hebo? So first of all, ask a question, how could she have kedushin? How could a shaita be married to have kedushin? So that's not a kasha. She could have been a pikeach in the shtates, so her marriage is valid.
Her father married her off.
Or her father married her off. That's also true. Her father could have married her. Okay. So let's assume either she was a pikeach or her father married her off. So she's a kedushin. It's kedushin ben atayra.